from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Look at this year's draft. We feel pretty strongly that after six or seven, it's really a wide range of where the names are going to go. We felt it's a real good value for us to make that deal. We really like the group of players we see ourselves potentially targeting at 14. We pick up an extra asset, which is good value, at pick 42, and then that's certainly something that we'll talk about. We're actively, you know, shopping around to look and see if there's a deal to make to help our roster better with pick 43. So this just gives us a little bit more ammunition.
Welcome to Draft Day here in Vegas, as that was Kevin Adams talking yesterday on the heels of a deal that was consummated in the morning. Pacific time, early afternoon.
Don't ask me. I'm morning and afternoons are always messed up for me anyway. So
they are. We've made that abundantly clear and have revisited it many times here over the last.
So good afternoon in Buffalo. Good morning in Vegas. That's the way it goes.
And with it now, the Sabres might position themselves to do what, given that they have moved from 11th in the first round,
yes,
back to 14th, but have an extra second round pick, and movement, of course, has been continuing around the NHL. Yesterday, for example, Andrew Mangiapane goes from Calgary to Washington, yeah, yet another rival in the Eastern Conference, and it was a cost of just a second round pick. The Capitals, we've talked an awful lot about just their moves so far.
Yes.
Adding Pierre-Luc Dubois to try to bolster the forward ranks. Look, last year, they were an extreme outsider to truly be in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
All the blowout losses, all the challenges they had scoring, and somehow they made it. Then their team, minor league club, wins the Calder Cup again, and the big club is still adding pieces. And it's these types of deals. An established player for a second round pick that just has me, and I'm sure many, you know, Sabre fans and fans across the league wondering how many deals of this type might we see in and around draft weekend.
Well, obviously, what the Washington Capitals are doing is saying, we made the playoffs, but we were team 16. Mm-hmm. Of the 16 teams that made the playoffs, we were team 16, which, that's great. We make the playoffs. Good for us.
Yeah.
But there's still a long way to go. And so they did acquire Pierre-Luc Dubois and now Mangiapane. Now, I take that to the Sabres. And like Kevin Adams joined us on this show yesterday. You know, it was about 12:30 Eastern time that he was on with us, and he mentioned, look, we're not opposed to going back, like fall a few steps back, a few picks back, maybe acquire an asset or two that we can flip around in a trade and go get something else.
Yes.
So when the trade broke down last night, yesterday afternoon, I should say, of the Sabres moving from 11 to 14 and getting the 42nd pick, which the Sabres already had the 43rd pick, it basically tells me, me personally, that the Sabres are still in the business of, let's see if we can not only use that 14th overall pick, but now you add that with a second rounder, can that bring something more significant to the team? If I'm just trading you, Duffer, the 11th pick, you're going to say, okay, the 11th pick's nice. But if I tell you 14 and 42 or 14 and 43, because the Sabres have those two picks back to back, that could be even more enticing. Or if I say, hey, you know what? We have a deal kind of in the works right now, but I'm going to give you 42 and 43 as opposed to just one second round pick. Let's make that happen. Some teams would say, hey, we don't have a first rounder.
Yep.
And now we're getting not only our own second round pick, but we can add a couple second round picks on top of it. I think there was a ton of added value for the Sabres just to move three picks back into the first round.
So there was the Mangiapane deal. There was Tyler Myers re-upping with Vancouver for a three-year deal at approximately three per.
And he could have given us a heads up yesterday when we ran into him.
I think the vibe was clear. He was looking very happy and very confident.
Yes.
And Dakota Joshua, 4 years, 3.25. What's next for Vancouver? Presumably Zadorov, if they can get that done. UC Saros and the Predators are working to finalize an eight-year extension at 7.74, which is low by the highest end standard in the NHL right now when it comes to goaltending. So the Predators are going to, I think, win contractually here on this deal. Obviously, Saros is 29, but it's worth noting that in his last 4 years, he has finished 6th, 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Vezina Trophy voting. So this is not somebody that is on the outside of the best goaltenders. He is right in the top handful in the NHL.
Well, look, Juuse Saros, I would think, I have no knowledge of how the negotiations went between Saros and the Nashville Predators, would have put Ilya Sorokin $8.5 million contract as the you know, let's try to get to the 8.5. The difference is that Saros would probably get a no movement clause. I would think, like, if you're Juuse Saros and you say, I will sign 8 years with you, I will sign for less because Tennessee, as we know, is a no, you know, a low tax kind of a state, a no a tax state. So the 8.5 that Sorokin is making in New York probably equals to about 7.5 to 7.75 that Sorokin Saros could make in Tennessee and Nashville. So you get yourself an 8-year deal. You get yourself a friendly number, a team-friendly number at 7.75. And you get yourself
7.74, which is important because Sidney Crosby would not take 8.88.
No.
He took 8.87.
Because that was his number.
Yes.
I get it. Saros' number is 74,
yes.
So it would be 7.74. But at the same time, he's saying, okay, I'll add a no-movement clause, so I know I'm going to stay in a low-tax state the rest of the contract and maximize the earning on that contract.
It's a great hurdle to have cleared, presumably, when they get it done, the Saros situation. I know others, and us included this year, wondered about Askarov and his future. Look, there's still ample time for that runway to continue in Nashville, establish himself as a really, really good NHLer behind Saros. And if that's the case, then he still has incredible value potentially around the league to make Nashville better. The Predators have a big logjam right now of dead contracts and bought out contracts, and it's really it doesn't allow them to get even close to being, you know, a true cap team where they're spending on their active roster. They have a lot that is going to be holding them back here for the next couple of years, but this is a good team friendly start, and we'll see what other, you know, significant moves they can pull off. But
that also, like the whole Saros thing to me is interesting because there's not a lot of smaller goaltenders in the National Hockey League like UC Saros mm-hmm. that have had the success that Saros has had. Mm-hmm. And I think when we talk about Devon Levi and his kind of, you know, coming onto the NHL scene and what would be a, I don't want to say that a good example, that you're playing exactly like a goaltender of your size, but mm-hmm. a smaller goaltender that has had success. And why has Saros had so much success in the NHL? Very athletic, mm-hmm. Athleticism, like I just said, quickness, reaction, all of it. And it took a little bit longer for Saros to get to that level. Like he was behind Pecorine for a few years until the Nashville Predators decided to say, okay, now this is Saros' net, and we're moving in that direction. I think Devon Levi is the type of goaltender that has the same attribute as mm-hmm. Saros, same body built, the same athleticism, the same quickness. But there is some learning for Levi. And I think for Saros, who now is in his late 20s, mm-hmm. getting himself an eight-year deal, that could be the path of a Devon Levi that, okay, we know that he has the raw tools, mm-hmm. and Luukkonen is there right now. So Kevin Adams said, I really like where my goaltending is at. I like where my defense is at. I want to add pieces up front. Well, that tells me they're happy with Luukkonen and where Levi's development is projecting to be. And I think, I'm not saying he's a UC Saros by the end of his career, but it could trend that direction because it takes time to get there, but he has all the tools.
He absolutely does. And one of many recurring topics this week has been the buyout window.
Yes.
I mentioned what Nashville is facing right now. I mean, you know, they have buyout history on their books to the tune of 7.5 this year, 8.5 next year, and as it pertains to Matt Duchene and Kyle Turris. They also have dead cap money in Ryan Johansson and Matthias Ekholm. So they're down like $12 million alone this coming season. But that's a lot. And we knew the Flyers.
They needed the $756,000, not $755,000 or whatnot because of Saros.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
they needed that $750-some thousand difference between $8.5 million and $7.74.
Yes, and keep in mind, I mean, you know, Saros is under contract for one more year at $5 million. Yeah. So this is a major commitment, obviously, to Saros. But in the realm of buyouts, and we'll touch on it again with Jeff Skinner here coming up, and is there still a potential for that to happen? We have seen one today, and it was expected.
Yes.
Danny Briere has been really honest when it comes to answering questions about players who maybe or more likely don't fit mm-hmm. the future profile of the Philadelphia Flyers. And it has now happened with Cam Atkinson that he's been bought out. And Marty, the Flyers, again, are already one of these teams that has retained money, you know, dead cap, if you will, in Kevin Hayes, Anthony DeAngelo. Now they're going to have Atkinson in that realm. And there might still be something with Cal Peterson and that moving forward. So this is what happens when you make the tough decisions. And it's no surprise that Atkinson will have a new start after his time in Philly.
Surprise, but only 1 year left on the contract, right? So you're not looking at projecting, oh, we're going to have buyout money for 6 years. Jeff Skinner is 3 years left, and obviously that would be a much bigger financial commitment. If you were to buy out Jeff Skinner right now, it would be about $14.5 million over the next 6 years. So Cam Atkinson at a $5.87 million AAV mm-hmm. coming up this year, actually was going to make less money, just over $5 million. So it's a $2.3 million cap hit this year and a $1.75 next year. For the Flyers, it made perfect sense to say, okay, we're going to move on, save ourselves $3 million of cap space here, almost $4 million of cap space next year, and we're going to buy out Cam Atkinson. But again, it's not going to be for 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road. It's only for the next 2 years that number is on the books.
Right, and I think that's been pretty obvious how the Flyers are positioning themselves and you know, trying to move off of some of the previously existing money and start fresh, and they're going to have a wonderful opportunity to do so. I mean, they got great news with Michkov being able to come over and get his North American career started. So they'll be undoubtedly, I would think, a pretty significant player this mm-hmm. weekend. But as it pertains to the Sabres. We're rolling along here on Sabres Live on Draft Day, round one tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
At Sphere.
Kevin Adams, of course, was with us yesterday. Then he immediately did a media session after making the deal with San Jose and the continuing topic of Jeff Skinner and his future with the Sabres, which centers largely around the buyout window that we are currently in, but it's just as much the clause that Jeff has in his contract, which is a no move. So instead of just thinking buy it out and move on, there's always options here, but you need all sides to be on board with it. So Kevin Adams discussing, you know, Skinner and his no move clause.
When you have situations like this and there's a no move, that means no move. So there's, right. You know, you have to, out of respect for the player too. And this isn't, yeah, exactly. And this isn't just Jeff. This is in any situation like this. If you have a player that has a no move clause, and even if there was a situation that arose that you're interested in, you know, the spirit of no moves, the player's not moving, you know, and so you have to just start with transparency of information to the agent, which we've done now, you know, back and forth to say, hey, here's some of the things we're thinking about internally. Here's things, and I said this last week, I have a lot of respect for Newport Sports, and these guys are, they're pros, they've been in this a long time, they know the business, they know the market, they do a good job of their players, so we've just had honest dialogue, and, you know, they know everything we're thinking and talking about, and we know where they're at.
All right, so there's the GM, Kevin Adams, and obviously the big moment for he and the organization could come in the 4 o'clock Pacific time hour tonight in the first round, but it's more likely to be in the second hour of the draft based on where they are
yes,
picking.
But later in the second hour.
What do you make of everything that you've continually heard from Kevin on this particular topic and with what you've seen around the NHL, which included, you know, a couple of buyouts already, right? We had Ryan Suter with Dallas. We now have Cam Atkinson with the Flyers, and the window is clearly wide open and will stay so until the afternoon of June the 30th.
So the way that the rules work, though, is any players that have a no-movement clause don't have to go on waivers for a buyout. Ryan Suter, no-movement clause, went straight to buyout. Jeff Skinner could go straight to buyout. Like, Kevin Adams doesn't have to, at noon, announce that, hey, we've put Jeff Skinner on waivers with the purpose of a buyout. Cam Atkinson was obviously talked about. The Flyers are going to buy out Cam Atkinson now, 12 minutes ago. So at noon, he went on unconditional waivers today, basically for the purpose of a buyout. So Jeff Skinner doesn't have to have that step. Like, we don't
now
have to say.
So essentially, what that means is the Flyers still may not end up buying him out.
Because if somebody picks up Cam Atkinson,
just like San Jose did with Barkley Goodrow.
So that could happen. Although, you know, it's very unlikely. When you've exhausted all of the situation, you've talked to the player, to the other teams, and you say, okay, what if I put that guy on waivers? Would you pick him up? Some teams may say, yeah, maybe we would or maybe we wouldn't. You talk to them about it. Now you, as the Flyers announced that you're going to buy out Cam Atkinson, that's because you've exhausted all the options.
Right.
The Sabres, with Jeff Skinner, are in a different boat. There is a ton of different options laid in front of Kevin Adams when it comes to Jeff Skinner. Number one, let's look at the buyout. Do you buy him out this year? Mm-hmm. Do you hope that, hey, you know what, let's bring Jeff Skinner for one more year. Let's see how that works with Lindy Ruff and, you know, the Tage Thompson healthy, everybody in a better place. And if that doesn't work, we can buy out Jeff Skinner next year. It is a difference in the buyout, in the structure of the buyout, and in the money with the buyout. But there is, when it started to be rumored last week that, oh, maybe the Sabres would buy out Jeff Skinner, there's a lot of teams and a lot of media around teams that were like, hey, Jeff Skinner at a X number would be a good fit for our team. So I think that what Kevin Adams is doing and will keep doing today and tomorrow possibly is there a team out there we can make a trade with. We can maybe retain some salary. We can facilitate, maybe take a contract that is not a good contract for another team and try to work our way into a different situation before we get to the buyout. The buyout is the end of the road. You buy out a player, it's the last resort.
I don't see them taking on a bad contract from another team.
I don't see it either. I think the Sabres at the end of the day are saying, is there a value in Jeff Skinner, maybe at a retained salary to say we're making a hockey move in that sense? Or maybe they acquire a few picks that they turn around again and acquire somebody in return. I don't think taking in a bad contract is where they're going to go, but they're exploring all those options. Mm-hmm. I think the buyout window closes on June 30th at 5 p.m. The Sabres have until June 30th at 5 p.m. basically to see, can we make another option work before we get to that point?
Right.
That's what Kevin Adams is doing. Everybody in Buffalo yesterday woke up expecting, oh, they'll buy out Jeff Skinner. And there seemed to be some frustration with a lot of fans that are like, why have they not bought him out yet? You don't have to. Mm-hmm. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You have until June 30th at 5 p.m. Look at all the options in front of you and see if that happens. We discussed, if you make a trade and you retain half, 50% of Jeff Skinner's salary, mm-hmm. $4.5 million cap this year, next year, and the year after. Mm-hmm. In year one, yes, you have a little bit more of a cap hit than if you buy him out. But in year two and year three, you're actually benefiting from just retaining salary as opposed to buying him out. Mm-hmm. So if you look at your salary structure and your Kevin Adams and you say, well, we have plenty of room this year.
Right.
We could take the $4.5 million cap hit on retained salary. In year two and year three, you're in a better spot.
But as we've seen in trades potentially of that ilk, it would likely be Buffalo sending Skinner and something else, i.e. a pick or a prospect and retaining salary, which at the end of the day kind of defeats the purpose because you could do it without any cost and just buy out, right? But again, it's easy for us to sit there and say, well, this seems like the easier of the options or the more likely of the options.
Yes.
But we're not hearing all the potential opportunities that could exist and the ongoing dialogue that is between the Sabres, Skinner, and his agent. So,
That is such an important point because Kevin Adams says, okay, Kevin Adams could have a deal on the table with the Minnesota Wild today and say, that makes a lot of sense. We like it. Pick up the phone. Call Jeff Skinner's agent. Say, hey, would Jeff be willing to waive his no move to go to Minnesota? Mm-hmm. No. Okay, well, then it's a moot point. Yeah, like you can't go anywhere because the player has the right to not go anywhere because he has that no movement clause.
Craig Button's coming up real quick here on Sabres Live. Joe Yurden in hour number two and a very special Sabres alumni guest. You will want to stay tuned for that. And yes, he is one that typically makes us laugh. So we're looking forward to that. One more here from Kevin Adams. Let's focus on since we're just still on the topic.
Yeah.
Whether any moves that they make could still have an impact on the Jeff Skinner situation. Here's Kevin.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
There was not a trade... And we went through every possible scenario with every team you could possibly go through that we felt comfortable made sense for pick 11. And there's also any trade that we've potentially looked at or talked about. There could still be the same trade there at 14.
Okay.
You know, so that's part of the thought process as well. But I said we're. Doesn't mean we're done here. You know, we're going to actively look. This pick's available. If it makes sense for us, we could we'd have assets to move back up. We could move down again. We just felt this one made sense for us based on, you know, what I said earlier.
All right, you can catch all of Kevin's address yesterday. Not that there won't be another one today, but...
there will be multiple, possibly. Yeah. Multiple tomorrow.
But, yes, always on Sabres.com. Are you still, like, how are you feeling about all of this right now as far as your instincts, your feel for any kind of, it doesn't have to be Skinner related, obviously, but just Sabre related today.
You know me. I'm a glass half full. You have a full glass of water on the table.
We've been in this the exact same time when it comes to being at drafts together from 1995 on.
Absolutely.
So I trust every single one of them. I trust your instincts on this.
From 2000 to 2013, I wasn't really paying much attention to them because I was playing.
I'm not allowed to make that comment, but we might have similar feelings on it.
So, but I'm a glass half full type of guy, but I also feel that, you know, there's maybe it's a bad analogy, but you have to crawl and walk before you can run, right? Like Kevin Adams is looking at, I know the chatter is the Sabres want to get better. The Sabres want to add a top six. Mm-hmm. The Sabres want to, you know, see if a Nick Ehlers or Travis Konecny or whoever, right? Like whatever name you think out there. There was somebody on social media just said, what about Teuvo Teravainen? You know, he may likely go to UFA route. He had 25 goals this year. Like that's a good value and you don't have to give anything. Yeah, I'm sure Kevin Adams is looking at all the options. But I feel like the deal yesterday is like the crawling and the learning to walk before you get that big deal where you're running and you're getting yourself in a good position. That's the way I see it. I think that's the vibe that I'm getting here in Vegas. And obviously, we can get to the draft and nothing could happen because last year at the draft, nothing happened, right? There was no trades in the first round. But I have this feeling that this move yesterday was the first in a what could be better or greater move for the team, top six forward, something like that to get in place.
Well, it has been a nice ramp up to the draft as far as changes across the league. Started with the goaltending position in multiple cities and continues now as teams get some extensions in place to retain their own, some buyouts that happen to help, you know, manage teams' individual situations, which, you know, like we mentioned yesterday in the case of the Dallas Stars and the buyout of Ryan Suter, like the hope is they have just enough extra to convince Chris Tanev to stay, right? Like that's a big situation to unfold. You have the Marty Natchez position in Carolina, Who will be the suitors lining up for him? Will that actually happen today? Before the draft, amidst the draft, yeah. Capo Caco continues to be a name that many would consider from the Rangers. Like, where is his fit after all this time? I know it sounds like he's been there forever, but
after a 12-year career,
it's been a slow build. No. Oh, we never got a chance to joke about, not joke, but yeah, keep it light anyway. Our Prospects Challenge Hall of Famer Graham Clark got traded from the Devils last week in a rather minor transaction, but we were always joking. It's like, how many years have we seen
Graham Clark was there
come in
veteran.
With the Devils at the Prospects Challenge?
But it's also one of those things, like, we see there's many different ways to build a team. You can build through the draft and all of that. The Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup with only having three NHL draft picks on their team.
And then you saw Ekblad's name in the rumor mill
yesterday.
He's
in the rumor now. This is a guy that was the number one overall pick. Like, they joke, they had Ekblad. They have Reinhardt, who was number two. They have Bennett, who was number four after Dreisaitl. Mm-hmm. Like, they've accumulated all these people, but now Ekblad could be on the move. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, well, possibly so they can re-sign Sam Reinhardt and maybe even Montour or whatnot. Like, there's so many things there. But let's not panic. Like, the draft is at 7 p.m. Eastern from Sphere in Vegas. I think the Sabres will be getting more and more calls on the 14th pick as we get towards, like, picks 8, 9, 10. Because teams are waiting to see who is on our board that hasn't been drafted yet and could be available at 14. And that between 9 and 16 could be a bunch of different guys. I think if the Sabres make a deal that includes a 14 pick, it could be well into, you know, the 8:20, 8:25 p.m. Eastern time frame, like a few picks before them, because other teams will want to see what's available and does it make sense to them, as opposed to doing it this afternoon and then their board gets thrown out the window because the draft, like, goes out, you know, in a different way that they wanted to.
The week began with Buffalo sitting in position number 11 in the first round. They are currently in the 14 slot. They've got multiple picks in round two. And, of course, they have 9 right now in their possession to use over the entirety of draft weekend here in Vegas. We'll see just how many picks our mate San Jose leads it off tonight just after 7 Eastern time. Where will you be watching? We hope it's at Southern Tier, because that's where the watch party is unfolding from a Sabre fan perspective. Tonight, it begins at 7 p.m. Of course, get there a little early. Drink special. Special sweepstakes and more, and you can learn more about it at sabres.com. But we encourage you to get down there and enjoy the night, and we'll see just how big a newsmaker the Sabres are when tonight's round one unfolds. Craig Button, TSN draft guru, next here on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
From the draft in Vegas at the Wynn, as we get set for round one tonight, and with our good friend Craig Button from TSN, and an assist to Marty for wrangling him in.
Oh, well, I
he didn't have to wrangle.
So I'll say this. First night we get in, and it's Tuesday, and our good friend Glenn Sheeler from TSN is here with his wife, and he's like, hey, Marty, I've got dinner plans, and, you know, Craig Button will probably be there, and a couple other people will be there from TSN and former partners and people that we were with that work in the league teams right now. And so we'll go to dinner, have a nice dinner. Bill comes, everybody's reaching their wallet to go, and then all of a sudden the bill left with Mr. Button's credit card in the bill. I'm like, so I got a free meal from this gentleman the very first night.
And this
night.
Is how you return the favor.
I know, I'm like, come and join us on the show. So
that was his payback. Like he said, this. Oh, it was a wonderful night.
One of the most generous souls.
Exactly.
Souls.
So that's why I'm saying
it's a wonderful night. It's you know, when you spend time with good people and you enjoy their company. And certainly, Brian, we worked together for a long time. And Marty, just love you both. And we don't do enough of that. Mm-hmm. We're passing each other quickly. Everybody's on to their next thing. We care about the sport. And we're doing this and doing that. We pass each other, give each other a hug. But, like, you know, to spend a night like that is really special.
So along those lines, because everyone involved in this is human, there's feelings, there's obligations contractually, there's rights for a player. You've lived it as a GM. We've been talking about it for quite a while now. if you're in a position like Kevin Adams and having a contract like Jeff Skinner's, and Jeff has been an incredibly productive player, the Sabres haven't got to their goal yet of getting back to the playoffs, and you're trying to manage this situation and explore all options and maintain open communication with player and agent about the situation, what is that like to navigate through when a player certainly has the right, of course, to have no movement clause?
Well, what I would say is, number one, the communication is essential. You know, like, you're not always going to, not everything you're going to express to a player, or conversely, what a player and his representative might say to you either is good. But you have to have that open communication. Okay, I didn't understand that. Okay, here's where we're at. And I think that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. And you have to have that communication. Jeff Skinner, to your point, has been a productive player, and they gave him a contract. And it's eerily, we've seen situations like this around the league. And now, because he has a no move clause right now, okay, how do we find a way around it? Because obviously the Buffalo Sabres are, I shouldn't say obviously, but it appears to me that they're looking to try to reset the roster, try to get some more money somewhere. So it's not easy, Brian. It's not easy to do, especially with somebody of Jeff's experience and certainly his quality. I mean, he's a quality person, right? So it's not easy to sit down and do it. What I would say is how can, from the manager's point of view, I'd say, how can we work with you to get you to a place that would be good for you? Because I think you owe that to the player at the very least. You can be cutthroat and just say, boom, you're out of here. Like, you know, we're going to do this. But I do believe that if you can work with the player and his representatives to find a place that would be – because it's not just Jeff now anymore. It's his family as well, right? So you have to keep that always in mind. So that's they're not easy decisions. I mean, if I said it was an easy decision, you'd probably say, geez, are you a cold-hearted
SOB?
It's not even Christmas and Scrooge is here, right?
That's definitely not you. You know, you think about every angle of it all, which is important. You talk about resetting the roster. The Sabres have some really good pieces in place. Especially, yeah. I feel like Kevin Adams mentioned he likes the goaltending, and Lukanen was good last year, and Levi is a guy that can take a bigger role. Their defense is really good with Power, Dahlin, Byram. You had that group of six, Samuelson. But up front, they have holes, and I feel like center, Thompson, Cousins, but there's a hole there. Earlier, maybe a month ago, Duffer and I were doing these exercises, like, who should they get in free agency? Who should they trade for? I somehow don't know how I got to it, but I somehow put Nazem Kadri on my list of, I would like Kadri in Buffalo, in the Sabres uniform. You did a little thing yesterday with Jay on SportsCenter and TSN about how, well, Kadri could be moved from Calgary, and Toronto may be a place where it would be a good fit for him back. But how likely is it that Kadri moves from Calgary, and should the Sabres be pursuing him?
I'll answer the second question first. Yes, they should be. Okay. I mean, Craig Conroy has clearly indicated they're in a full rebuild now. This is no more. I mean, they've moved seven players out. Markstrom, Hanifin, Tanev, Zadorov,
Lindholm,
Toffoli, Mangiapane. I mean, like, this isn't about we're competing next year. Like, yeah. Let's just pull the curtain back and let's just call it what it is. I think it's a Montreal style rebuild. Everything's trying to get them to 2028 when they're going to be in a new arena. So now, Nazem Kadri, and I'm putting Blake Coleman in the same boat. They did not sign up there for a rebuild. Mm-hmm. They are not going to be happy. So now, if you're a manager, if you're Kevin Adams, and you have room and you're looking for a certain type of player, and I think Blake Coleman would be a great fit.
Yeah. Great fit.
And, yes. and in Buffalo, too. I'm making those calls. If I'm Kevin Adams, I'm making those calls to Craig Conroy. I'm trying to find out what. And because the Buffalo Sabres have such a wealth of prospects and draft picks, like, this is something that, think about where Calgary's at. Like, Toronto, and so I bring up Toronto because it's, you know, when you're on
it's
a Toronto station,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You sell it on the Toronto station, right? You know, I'm dumb, but I'm not stupid, Brian. Anyway, you know, so, but Toronto doesn't have what Calgary really wants.
Yeah.
Buffalo, if they can engage in the Buffalo has exactly what Calgary's looking for and looking what they're going to do. And, you know, that's, so part of the process that the Buffalo Sabres have gone through and having picks and being patient with their players and watching them grow and everything. And you guys know, There's lots of really good prospects. They're not all going to play for the Buffalo Sabres, and that's a fact. So there's opportunity here. And I really believe, too, for the Buffalo Sabres, I mean, we've seen how much they've come ahead. I think they have a good team. I mean, you got Thompson, Cousins up the middle of the ice. You know, that's a nice, like, who would want that?
Kadri.
Yeah, and now you add Kadri.
One, two, three.
Yeah. And it's winning experience, too, that I think would help those players, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some guys that come in and can just, hey, here's how we're going to go about our business. I think that helps as well.
Remember when I said Zach Benson reminded me of Claude Lemieux? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if you put Benson and Kadri on the line and you said, you guys go ahead and be about as hard to play against? Or even Blake Coleman and say, hey, you know what? You guys are going to be the pain in everybody's neck every time you step on the ice. Like, that would be a good thing for Buffalo.
Think about some of the flexibility too that Lindy would have. Lindy can now he can within games or whatnot. Hey, Dylan, you can go play right wing.
Thompson, same thing, right? Like, I mean, we've seen a fair amount of that. Sometimes injury necessitated where Tage would not take draws and not start in the middle. But yeah, it's absolutely that kind of flexibility that I think they crave. It's just they, you know, having moved off of Mittelstadt in the Byram deal, it's a little bit more challenging for them to do that right now. But you see, I think our audience certainly knows Kadri well.
Toronto.
But Blake Coleman just had a career year. What is it about Coleman now that would be a good fit for Buffalo if they were able to orchestrate something like that?
Okay, so Blake, yeah, he had a career. He scored 30 goals. Okay, that's pretty impressive, right? But the 30 goals, I think, is a bonus when you're talking about Blake Coleman. It's the way Blake Coleman plays every single shift. It's he's zeroed in on doing whatever it takes to win a shift. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times you hear a coach say, win a shift? We're going to go out, we're going to win a shift, we're going to win a shift, we're going to win a shift. And when you've won two Stanley Cups, you understand the importance of establishing standards of how we're going to play. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I've used this analogy, discussion many times. If you go into the Buffalo Sabres locker room and you said to the players, who wants to win? All the hands are going up. Yeah. If you ask the second question, you say, who's prepared to pay the price? All the hands are going up. Third question is, who knows what the price is? Blake Coleman knows what the price is. Nazem Kadri knows what the price is. And that's valuable. Yeah. And it's not just somebody coming in and saying, hey, here's what we got to do. It's the way he plays. He's an excellent penalty killer. He's disruptive with his speed. He's hard on the boards. Like, you think about battles, and the game is about battles, mm-hmm. and there's battles everywhere. Blake Coleman's invested in those battles, and with one idea, how do I win it? And I think his contract's manageable, and I think that those types of elements, Brian, really are valuable to any team. But I look at Buffalo, and I think those are the types of things that can – types of players that could really come in and make a material difference to a young team.
It's Chris Drury, and I hate to go back to 03, 04, lockout, 05, 06, 06, 07, Sabres win, you know, the President's Trophy, conference finals, everything. But that's Chris Drury coming into our locker room back then. I want to win. Yeah, I want to pay the price to win. Marty, what's that price? Chris Drury's here. He'll tell us what the price is, right? That was his addition to us.
So you know I traded for Chris Drury in Calgary, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was the...
Stefan Yell. So we signed Marty Jelen in the summer, and then we traded for Stefan Yell and Chris Drury for exactly that reason. Yeah. We wanted to surround Jerome and the Robin Regier and the other young players. Yeah. And we had Craig Conroy there, the current general manager. But that was the idea. Yeah. Is that's exactly what we did. Hey, listen, I've told Daryl Sutter, they win the Stanley Cup if they don't trade Chris Drury. Because the problem wasn't Conroy versus LeCavalier. They had nobody to match up against Brad Richards.
Yeah.
And Chris Drury, I'd bet on Chris Drury doing it. So, and a great job by Daryl. I'm not here to think, but, like, you know, I think if Chris was there,
Calgary wins in 04 instead of Tampa.
Well, they didn't have Brad Richards ran roughshod.
Yeah. No, he was MVP that year, right?
Yes, he was. Winner, yes, he was. Right, anyway, so. But it was the same thing. Like, live that, done that. We traded for Joe Nieuwendyk in Dallas for the same reason. Like, influence on our young players.
That's a great trade to always go back to because obviously nobody knew in the moment what was going the other way as far as the career that young prospect would have.
It was a throw-in, Brian.
Happens to be Jerome Iginla, but Joe Nieuwendyk is a Hall of Famer, and Joe Nieuwendyk, the Hall of Famer, is what allowed Dallas to win the Cup, among the many other attributes, of course. But Nieuwendyk was sensational.
And Brian, he came in and set a standard for our team. We had Guy Carbon over there in Craig Levin, but Nieuwe was a prime player at that time, and taking the pressure off of Madonna. But the standard that he came in and like. Again, I talk about standard, right? This is how it has to work. Patty Verbeek was another one that was unbelievable how they came in and they just established a standard. And I think if you want to win, there's different ways to establish standards. Coaches can have to do it and everything. But when you have a chance to get players like this, and I think the opportunity is there for a Blake Coleman and Nazem Kadri to move, I'd be phoning Craig Conroy every day to try to find a way.
Okay. Now, put on your GM hat if you are running the Tampa Bay Lightning, because the latest from the agent, Don Meehan, is that Steven Stamkos will be unrestricted on July 1st. We've seen this game before with Steven and the Lightning. What do you think is happening here? Do you think he'll stay with the Lightning?
I want to believe he'll stay with the Lightning, but that doesn't mean he will stay with the Lightning. You reach a point in your career and in your life, or where Steven's at now, where you know maybe he just wants to hear. Maybe he just wants to hear what's out there. Maybe he wants to be courted, Brian. There's nothing wrong with that. Who would want you? How do you fit in? And maybe Steven's looking for something different. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about something different. That happened. Scott Niedermayer. Great player, loved the New Jersey Devils. And the lockout after that, he said, I was looking for something different. He wasn't trying to get away from New Jersey. He was looking for something different in his life, for his family, and everything. He ended up going to Anaheim.
So, with his brother.
Yeah. But still, whatever that different is, like, it's different for everybody. But maybe that's where Steven's at right now. I mean, he's spent his entire adult life in Tampa Bay. He's the captain of the Tampa Bay. He's a 40-goal scorer last year. I mean, he's a good player. But at times, maybe this is just you get to that point as a person and with your family, you go, hey, what's out there? And maybe you come back to Tampa Bay, and dollars always become a factor in this. I always felt, I know Donnie, I get the ire of Donnie sometimes when I go, well, a Malkin contract seems to be the right path. That was the 6.25. And Donnie will say, Craig, my good friend Craig.
So this is how
he goes. Take off that manager's hat.
Yeah. So this is how Donnie does his negotiating.
Hey, real quick, we want to get into the draft.
Okay, yes, that's where I was going.
I've heard you've been, very busy.
You had to do a mock draft redo a mock draft. And the Sabres traded yesterday. Do you have to do a third one?
No. I did. I joked. I said I said for San Jose, it could be the same guy at 11 that Buffalo was going to take at 11.
Yeah. Okay. So
which I had them taking Yakimchuk.
Yakimchuk at 11. Yeah. So what is a guy now? You think 11, 14, Yakimchuk? Who else is in that realm? If the Sabres were there, I think our fan base want that pick to be traded and let's go. But if they get there at 14, who's a guy?
Yeah, and I think for Buffalo, just to go back to the trade, I think that for San Jose, they started to look at, they're looking for a defenseman. And maybe they don't take one at 11, but there's not one there. But I think the calculation was of those six defensemen, none of them were going to be there at 14. So give themselves a chance, move up to 11, try to get a defenseman in there, one of those six defensemen that, I had Yakimchuk and whatnot. So the Buffalo, and Buffalo's not, they don't need defensemen. Yeah. When I say you don't need defensemen, their blue line, as you point out, is really good. I think there's a lot of options for them at 14 if they stay in the draft. There's a lot of really, these are players that are going to be, I don't think you're going to see a Zach Benson come into training camp and make the team and play. But I think there's different types of players that they can look at. You want to look at a Jet Luchenko. I think he's a really good Nick Suzuki type player from Montreal, and real smart. He's a right shot center, so maybe they're not looking in that direction. I don't think Beckett Seneca will be there at 14, the Oshawa Generals right winger, mm-hmm. but he's a Corey Perry type player. I think that everybody would love to have a Corey. Yeah. You know, and then you start to look at some other players, like some bigger, like, I don't know about Michael Haig, who's from Toronto, played with the Chicago Steel, really gifted player, very talented player. Michael Brandsig Nygaard. You know, a Norwegian, he's going to be a first-round draft pick, yeah. but a hard mm-hmm. – Zach, not 53 goals, Zach Hyman. no, like that. But I say Zach Hyman now. You know, you almost have – and I love Zach, right? Yeah. But that kind of like 20 – can play with good players up and down the wing, skate, make plays, real smart players. I mean, those are just four players that come to mind that, you know, I think that, you know, when you look at the Buffalo Sabres, again, I mean – every list is different, and best. So I'll take the best player available, but best player available is different for every team. I think the Buffalo Sabres just go, hey, that's the player we like. That's who we're going to take. I don't think they have to be zeroed in on a position specific player. Mm-hmm. The player that they do select, if they use the selection, will be somebody that they feel can come into their group. I wouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't say that, but I should be. I would lean towards them taking a forward, not a defenseman. Yeah.
Do you have a hunch on which team becomes the biggest newsmaker tonight?
Well, I know lots of teams want to be newsmakers. Yeah. Like, you know, like
nobody wanted to be a newsmaker last year. It was painfully quiet in round one.
But it's very different now. Like, you know, it just feels different. Like, you know, Columbus is looking to be a difference maker. Philadelphia is looking to be a difference mm-hmm. maker. So they're just one. I mean, I was talking to Craig Conroy last night, and he just said his phone's ringing off the hook. He mm-hmm. just says, like, and I think, like, for players, for that pick, like, where you at? Like, what's he doing? Because they know that Craig's open for business, right? The Ottawa Senators are another one that I could see. I mean, they're trying to reset their roster mm-hmm. and trying to make some. They made a big move in getting Allmark and for a first round pick. There's going to be movement, and I think that not just tonight, but also leading into the weekend. Yeah. I think we're going to see young RFAs move, younger players move in trades, and I think that we're in for a real significant busy 3-4 days here.
You know how confusing this hotel, the wind could be walking around these meeting rooms. There's a bunch of teams meeting around us. Just pretend you're lost and go in their rooms and say, oh, hey, I didn't know you guys were here.
I see they're bored and I go, nope. Just shake my head.
And then walk out?
Walk out. Take a picture, walk out.
No, I won't take a picture. I'll just shake my head. I'll go in. Oh, sorry. Just start shaking my head. Really?
Amazing. Thank you. Great to see you.
Yeah,
as
great
always.
To see you. Thank you very much for having me. Yep.
Thank you.
I'm just happy I found you.
Yes, as are we. Craig Button from TSN. We have much more to come in hour number two of Sabres Live from Vegas after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, we're rolling along here. Joe Yurden's going to join us in hour number two. Of course, earlier today, if you missed it, the Sabres did re-up with Cale Clegg on the blue line. And, you know, he hasn't seen a ton of games with the Sabres, but he's always been well-positioned and well-appreciated by coaching staff, whichever one, you know, has been in place in Rochester and in Buffalo. So for Clegg, he obviously still sees opportunity with the organization, and it's a depth move, but we wonder always what will be bigger moves than that. After hearing from Craig and seeing a lot of the, you know, speculation and things that are going on around the league, obviously Stamkos was going to be a huge story, and it's still unresolved, very much likely to head to UFA status. But, you know, Craig's deeply invested, always has been, in Calgary, and the Flames have now made themselves a talking point at this time of year based on the transactions they have done in the last 2 weeks and the names that remain on that roster, i.e. Nazem Kadri and Blake Coleman. And, yeah, do those players have rights and protections and desires and wishes and where they want to go? 100%. But after talking with Craig, I mean, I can't help but, like, these are the types of players, like, you really, really, really want to go all in to
fight,
right?
That ball is rolling now, and there is labels in the National Hockey League, especially when it comes to teams. And two labels that we talk about all the time, buyers and sellers. Mm-hmm. I think the definition of sellers is the Calgary Flames 2023-24 and yep. more summer. Like, they have been a seller. You mentioned seven players that are not on that roster from when the guys like Coleman and Kadri signed with the team. Mm-hmm. As, you know, like, Kadri had just won a cup with the Colorado Avalanche. He signs a big contract with Calgary, hoping to be part of a winner. And it's gone a totally different direction. So this is interesting. You talked about Stamkos. And we discussed Patrick Kane a little bit as a UFA. There's other UFA name. Between Stamkos and Kane and maybe Jonathan Marchessault and maybe Sam Reinhart, and it makes July 1 like fireworks. Like we're saying, like Canada Day fireworks on July 1 could really happen because there's a lot of big names.
Yep.
on the sheet right now as potential unrestricted free agent, and Stamkos will be on that sheet.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the flip of, okay, free agency, you look at it by position, and then you look at it inevitably. I don't, every year you can make a case for, oh, there doesn't seem to be enough of this available or enough of this available. But if we're keeping it on the Sabres, I think more people would be interested in adding another centerman at this point in time, right? There's not necessarily a ton of them that would have the impact and would fit, like dollar-wise, whatever, when free agency hits, right? So,
and I get it that Kadri has got a big contract, right?
But it's Nazem not that Kadri, big, though.
Okay, Nazem Kadri has 5 years left at $7 million.
Right.
Where was Nazem Kadri at his most effective while winning a cup with the Colorado Avalanche as a third-line center? Right, we have talked about. Remember,
he moved up that year though due to injury.
There was injury, but yes.
Second, yeah.
But think of the Pittsburgh Penguins winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. It was Nick Bonino, Carl Hagelin, and it was I'm blanking on the other one. Oh, Phil Kessel. Mm-hmm. Phil Kessel was that third line, right? Having that solid. The Tampa Bay Lightning winning back-to-back cups. It was Blake Coleman, Barclay Goodrow. It was Yanni Gord, right? Mm-hmm. That those are the type of, I hate to say the word great, like kind of character players that you put on your roster that, I get it, they probably are more beneficial in the playoffs mm-hmm. and that playoff atmosphere. But I think for the Sabres, you have to get to the playoffs first, but they would help you get to the playoffs over an 82-game season.
Yes, and then there's the reality, which fans will rightfully look at, which is when players have clauses and, you know, would that player want to come to Buffalo? And this is the challenge, the goal, the need for the hockey department to be able to make an incredibly bold offer, and in the process, convince someone like a winner in Coleman, a yep. winner in Kadri, a winner, insert name here. And when you get that ball rolling and you make the commitment to convince everybody else that this is why we're doing it, that's when you have a potential for change, right?
So
and I think
this.
That's the exact window that Kevin has talked about.
You know how we say we're going to make T-shirts with Saber Lives and all of that? I'm making a new T-shirt. First question, who wants to win?
Yeah.
That's, you know, yeah. everyone. Second question, who wants to pay the price to win? Everyone. Third question, who knows what the price is? Mm-hmm. Quotation, Craig Button. Like, I love that today when he said that. Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody wants to win. Go up and down the Sabres locker room.
Yeah.
Do you want to win? Yes. Do you want to pay the price to win? Yes. Will you play hurt? Will you block shots? Will you do this? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so that's part of the price, mm-hmm. but do you know the extent of the price? Mm-hmm. How much you have to pay to win? A lot of them don't know. They've not gotten there.
Right.
And I love what Craig Button said. Those guys have gotten there.
Do you want Joe Yurden in hour number two? An emphatic yes. The cost unknown.
Yes.
We'll determine it during the break. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.